Coming up on today's Next Fan Out podcast, we focus in on Raiders superfan Monty.
Let's not talk about last week, Pod. We're looking forward. We're looking to the future. Last week was a bad week for everyone. I wish that Neil was here, because Neil would tell you that the McGloin clan is strong. Congrats to all of the superfans for having more rushing yards on the season than Reggie Bush.
Glad he got through whatever it was that happened to him last week, and glad we could reach the end of the season with you. Here we go.
Listen. Hello? We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next Fan Up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the superfans.
They are who we thought they were.
Hello and welcome to a late night edition of the Next Fan Up podcast. Late night for me, probably not late night for you. It's probably early morning for you as you're listening to this, but whatever. It's Pod Vader here, and I've got super fans, and we've got week 17 in the NFL to preview, and it's an interesting week 17, and I'll just leave it at interesting. Because it's really not. There's really only one game really worth watching. It's going to be the one that's on Sunday night. And we'll get to that one and all the games in just a moment. But first, let me introduce you to the gentlemen that are joining us this fine evening. And we'll start with the guy who will help us with that first game. And it's Green Bay Brian. Hello, Brian.
Hey, how's it going, everybody? Great to be here. I would argue that there's really only one game that matters every week.
I would guess that everyone would say that, though, Brian, and it would all be a different game. Joining us as usual from Prison Zone 6 in New York, it is our Dallas Cowboys superfan, Kevin. Hello, Kevin.
Hello, Pod. How is everyone tonight?
We're doing well. When we get to your game, I'm going to want to ask if the greatest quarterback of all time is actually going to get to play, or if we're going to see Mark Sanchez coming off the bench.
Yes, I'll happily.
Cowboys dug up Otto Graham.
That voice you heard was our Eagles superfan, James. Hello, James.
Hey, guys.
James has that game where he'll see Otto Graham coming off the bench. It'll be fantastic.
Oh, wow, that'd be great. A legend.
And I saved, I don't know if I'll say he's the best for last, but perhaps the best intro for last. He is alive, although barely. He's just hanging in there. It's Monty, our Raiders superfan. Hello, Monty.
Thanks for having me, fellas. It's important to be with friends and family in these difficult times. It's been a bit of an Irish wake the last few days, so appreciate you having me on.
Anytime, Monty, anytime. I know it's going to be tough for you, but we'll help you get through it. We'll help you all get through it here. And all you need to do is send us an email, nextfanup@gmail.com. I put out a last second beacon for like tweets or anything, and I got crickets going off right now. But if you ever want to get in touch with us, the email is the best way to do it. That's nextfanup@gmail.com. You can tweet us at NFU Podcast, and we got a whole bunch of great stuff for you on our website. That's www.nextfanup.wordpress.com. Please share the podcast with a friend on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Aha Radio. You can always find us at blogtalkradio.com/nextfanup. We would love to hear from you and your friends as we continue to present you with some fantastic football analysis. And we will start our football analysis with, as I mentioned it before, the only game that really matters this week, and that is the Green Bay Packers at the Detroit Lions. It is the Sunday night game. It got flexed there for a reason, because the winner of this game is going to the playoffs and the loser, Brian, is going home.
That is a fact. Yes.
So there is a weird scenario, as we discovered, where apparently the Redskins will be watching this game very closely if they win the game. If they lose, the Redskins are out. They have no shot. But also the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who will be watching this game, hoping that they win their game. Washington ties their game. Green Bay loses. And then Tennessee, Indianapolis, Dallas, and San Francisco all win their games, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers can still get into the playoffs, apparently.
It's always nice to have hope.
So, Brian, as you've been watching the Aaron Rodgers Packers, what has the difference been since Rodgers said they're going to win out the rest of the season?
I think the difference has been Rodgers. I think, you know, for a good stretch there, I think about 16, 18 games, we saw a lot of a guy who wore the same number as Rodgers and looked and sounded a lot like Rodgers, but really wasn't playing like Aaron Rodgers. And after he made his run the table comment, you know, he kind of turned it around, and he's no longer missing open receivers. And he still does hold the ball a little bit more for longer than makes me feel comfortable, especially given that he's been a little banged up. But yeah, I think he's the biggest reason why the Packers are where they are today.
You know, last week you got into a shooting match with the Minnesota Vikings. Although wasn't really all that close, but there was still quite the shootout there.
Yeah, so that is kind of the fly in the ointment here, is that the Packers are a very good team on offense, and they're actually pretty good at stopping the run too. But if we have to defend against the likes of receivers such as Adam Thielen, it's going to be a tough matchup, because that's just an area we've really struggled this season. I had injury excuses earlier, but most of our guys are back now, and we still continue to struggle. So that if the Packers make the playoffs and they are able to proceed through the playoffs, I think it will be because the defensive secondary is, you know, forcing timely turnovers rather than really locking down opposing passing attacks.
Now, you obviously saw the Detroit Lions earlier this season, that game being at your stadium. You pulled off a 7-point victory, and it was near the beginning of the season. Rodgers had 4 touchdown passes in that game, and Jordy Nelson had a pretty big game. Sounds almost similar to what happened last week against Minnesota. Are you expecting the same, or do you think something different is going to happen here?
No, I'm expecting more of the same. The Packers offense has really run through the air this year. Our rushing attack has been pretty much non-existent since Eddie Lacy went down. Here and there, we're able to put up some big games. We had a big game against the Bears. But this offense makes its hay through the air. And the good news for the Packers is the Lions are pretty beat up in the secondary. There's a question as to whether Darius Slay is going to be able to play. I would argue that he's one of the top 2 quarterbacks in the division, at the very worst, and arguably the best. So if we can attack the Lions through the air on the outside, I think that's going to be our key to victory. And it's actually something we've had quite a bit of success at the last couple of weeks. I think 2 of the last 3 games we put up 38 points against some pretty elite passing defenses in Seattle and Minnesota. So I'm confident that we're going to be able to score against Detroit. The bigger question to me is, you know, can we score enough? Can we prevent Detroit from passing the ball all over the yard as we've struggled against for the greater part of the season?
Well, let's go to James now for that injury report. What are you seeing, James? I know it's still early, but we had at least 1 day of practice in here.
Yeah. As of today, Coach Caldwell is non-committal on Darius Slay's status. Doesn't look like he's practiced this week thus far with that hamstring injury. Theo Riddick was a non-participant today in practice with his wrist injury. Andre Roberts also didn't practice today. That's for the Lions. For the Packers, Randall Cobb shows up on the injury report with an ankle. TJ Lang is questionable. And James Stark shows up on the report as questionable as well.
All right. So it's pick'em time. We'll start with you, Brian, since it's your team. Who you got?
We talked a little bit about it already. just that the Lions are a little beat up in the secondary. I'm expecting a Packers victory here. I think it is going to be a high-scoring game. I'm going to say that the Packers win 33-27.
That's an interesting score. Kevin, Prison Zone 6, who do you got?
I'm definitely going to go with the Packers on this one. I mean, the Lions are the freshest thing in my mind. As everyone knows, I am a Cowboys fan. So coming off that drubbing of a 42-21 performance, I mean, the Lions just don't look good right now. They couldn't protect Stafford at all in the second half. David Irving and Benson Mayo were getting after him. The Cowboys' defensive line was shut down the run completely in the second half after having Zach Zenner be pretty effective in the first half. But so I say that just because I think the Rodgers and the Packers are going to be able to do exactly the same thing the Cowboys did. I mean, Dak had over 200 yards on only 15 completions. And as Brian said, the Packers are here because of Rodgers. They don't have a running game, really. So I expect more of the same from Rodgers and Jordy. Continue their little hot duo connection from last week. Devontae Adams back on the touchdown board last week. The Lions are done here. Stafford just can't do it all himself. Zach Zenner's not going to beat the Packers in a Week 17 game. So Rodgers and his 14 touchdowns over the last 6 weeks will claim the NFC North crown and hopefully can beat the Giants in the wild card round when they meet each other, presumably the week after that.
All right, Monty, who do you got?
All due respect to Jim Bob Cooter. It's hard to pick against Aaron Rodgers the way he's playing right now. I think they got better wide receiving core, better quarterback. And I've always thought Jim Caldwell's kind of conservative. I think something's going to come down to it where he's got to lay his game on the line, and he's going to take the conservative route and punt it when he should go for it or something weird. He just doesn't strike me as the go-for-the-jugular kind of coach.
James, who you got?
I want to take Detroit. They're 6-1 at home.
Of course you want to take Detroit.
That's your thing. They tend to play better at home. I'm still miffed by the one game they lost, which is to the Colts, even though it was earlier in the season. But last week against the Cowboys really showed a lot. They were two totally different teams between halves. They were able to keep up with Dallas. And if this turns into a shootout, like we're pretty much all expecting there to be at some point, that offense may not be able to keep up with Aaron Rodgers and the Packers if they can continue to go down the field over and over again and constantly put up sevens. I want to give the Lions the benefit of the doubt because they're at home, but I'm going to have to go with the Packers.
All right. Aaron Rodgers in 15 career meetings. Let me get this stat right. In 15 career meetings, 30 passing touchdowns, only 6 interceptions against the Lions. So he averages 2 touchdowns a meeting. Matthew Stafford, in his past 7 at home versus the division, has 13 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, not quite 2 touchdowns a meeting. I'm going to take the Green Bay Packers. By the way, Packers are -3 on the road, so road favorites in this one. Also not a good sign for the Detroit Lions. Speaking of -3 and pick'ems, somebody here has made a really big late push and is now in a 3-way tie for 4th with Monty in our own Pigskin Pick'em group. We have 3 people tied for 4th with 152 correct picks, but the top is still owned by Dizio. Dizio, if you're listening, please send us an email, nextfanup@gmail.com. I may or may not be able to get you something for winning our Pigskin Pick'em group. Justin, our Seattle superfan, is in 2nd, 1 pick behind Dizio, and then this ESPN Epi person, who I don't believe is a real person whatsoever, is in third place. Monty, you had another poor showing last week.
Let's not talk about last week, Pod. We're looking forward. We're looking to the future. Last week was a bad week for everyone. Had to spend a lot of time with some relatives you probably didn't want to. A lot of your teams probably lost you didn't want to. We're focusing on the future.
Okay. Well, you know, if I'm going to make a big deal about this Green Bay Detroit game, then I guess the New York Giants and the Washington Redskins has to be game number two on the list here in terms of importance, because the Redskins obviously need to win to get in. And if they don't, then they're out no matter what. So, let's take a look and see what we got here. We got the New York Giants. We got the Washington Redskins. And this line opened up rather large for the Redskins. Redskins favored by 7.5. Let's see if that line has moved any since the opening. Only a little. Redskins still favored by 7 at home. I can't believe the Giants would let something like that happen. Let's see. I got two NFC East guys here on the show. Kevin, what are your thoughts here, Giants Redskins?
I'm not really sure if the Giants are gonna play all their starters for the entirety of the game, so this game's sort of hard to predict for me. I mean, the Giants would love to end the Redskins season, I imagine, but I still don't know if everyone on the defensive side of the ball for the Giants is going to play for the entirety of the game. I don't know if Janoris Jenkins is even gonna suit up. He's a little banged up. I would imagine they want to rest him for the postseason. JPP's obviously not going to be there. So I'm going to give it to the Redskins here. They obviously need to win to have any hope of going into the playoffs. I love Kirk Cousins, as everyone knows that. I mean, he absolutely torched the Bears last week, who do have a vulnerable secondary, but their defense is a little underrated, in my opinion. They can cause some problems for offenses. And Kirk Cousins just absolutely destroyed them. Chris Thompson had a big game. And one thing of note here, although the Giants do have a great defense, and when we talk about the Giants more through in the next couple of weeks, that will probably show up through the tone of my voice, but their offense is as bad as the Giants' defense is good. They haven't scored more than 28 points, not a single time this year. Not more than 28 points, not one single time. That's hard to even fathom. So I'm just going to give it to the Redskins here at home. They're going to score over 28 points in a win or die situation. So Kirk Cousins and the Giants will make that three NFC East teams in the playoffs this year. So that's pretty good.
James, you're also representing the NFC East here. Your thoughts?
I would love nothing more than to see Washington sitting at home with my Eagles watching the playoffs. But they do have the world to play for right here. And step one is them winning this game, and the game is in Washington. I'm a little worried. Kevin brought up some good points. The Giants could rest people. We honestly don't know what their plan is as of yet until the game starts. They'll probably keep it close to the vest. Janoris Jenkins is still questionable as far as his playing time. Will Ty has an illness, so he was limited in practice this week. And linebacker B.J. Goodson for the Giants is in the concussion silent protocol, killer. So we don't know. We're going to
be careful of the silent killer this time of year. The silent killer's out there.
Silent killer. Washington is also pretty banged up themselves in more ways than one. Last I checked, I think about half their defense was listed. Compton, Kerrigan, Baker, Cravens, Dante Whitner, who they just signed, Martell Spate, Trent Murphy. Yes, Whitner, sorry, is on injured reserve. That was official earlier today. But, yeah, they have a lot of people banged up on their defense, some more than others. Everyone is pretty much listed as questionable. And Jordan Reed, who probably shouldn't play, will probably give it a go. He's listed as questionable as well. He's still nursing a shoulder injury, being limited in practice. I would love for the Giants to pretty much come out and at least try to establish some rhythm. We said that the Giants are very erratic on offense. Defensively, they look great over the last couple of weeks of the season, but offensively, just looking at that game Thursday night, Eli Manning looked like Santa Claus, and it just looked like he wanted to give my secondary presents every time he stepped back to throw the ball. If it wasn't for Odell Beckham Jr., he could have had a much worse game than he did. I'm going to have to go with the Giants. They just look horrific, and if the last couple of weeks offensively are any indicator of them going to the playoffs, if that's how they play, they'll get bounced in the first game instead of making a statement and scaring the Dallas Cowboys. So I'm going to pick the Giants here.
Yeah, you know, the reason why the Giants look erratic is because their only offense is Odell Beckham Jr. And you can only rely on one guy for so long before other teams figure that out. Brian, quick thoughts on Giants Redskins.
No real new ground to cover here. I think you guys hit it pretty well. I think the Giants kind of look really erratic, especially on offense. Knowing the Giants, that could all change once they get to the playoffs, but in a game that Washington has to win and New York doesn't, I'm picking Washington.
Monty, usually on these pick'em shows, the mantra is the team wants it more. It's sounding a lot like Washington wants this game more.
Yeah, I mean, I'll raise a glass to Steelers fan Greg and what he throws out there making his picks. He's usually pretty successful, but I'll be the first to admit going into this offseason, I wasn't necessarily a Kirk Cousins believer. This is 2 years in a row he's made it a December to remember, and I don't know, I'm going to take the home team in this one for sure. And, you know, just a shout out to Neil, you know, Neil's been putting in a lot of work. I'm going to pick his team and root for him a little bit this weekend.
Kirk Cousins will be a big conversation this off season because he's looking at Brock Osweiler type money coming his way. The question is, will the Redskins be the team that gives it to him? I am also taking the Redskins. They're at home. They want it more. Do they have the better quarterback? I don't know about that one. That might be a push. I might give that a push.
2016, Kirk Cousins is definitely a better quarterback than Eli Manning in 2016.
There you go. All right. So, but it sounds like we're all taking the Redskins. And by the way, we'll go over this at the end. But currently, with just the two outcomes we have, the Giants would end up going to Green Bay for their wild card game, and Washington ends up going to Seattle for their playoff game. But we'll go over different scenarios at the end of this podcast. In the meantime, let's go back to the beginning. As we like to do on this show, and kick things off with the Buffalo Bills and the New York Jets at 1 p.m. This game has absolutely no meaning whatsoever, but the Bills did just fire the Ryans, which Neil, speaking of Neil, had asked us on the recap show if Rex's tenure was done in Buffalo. And sure enough, they've answered. Now, what I do think is rather interesting is there's talk that this Lynn character, you know, their offensive coordinator who took over for Greg Norman, who they fired earlier this season as their
Greg
offensive
Roman
coordinator. I know. Stick with the joke, James. You were on the show when I called him Greg Norman.
I know.
But in any case, now that he's the interim coach, and it sounds like they're benching Tyrod Taylor for EJ Manuel. What does EJ Manuel have in Buffalo? He must have pictures of the owner or something.
I think he's got one of those situations where he's not guaranteed $17 million if he goes on IR for the next 12 months.
Yeah, if Taylor gets injured, the Bills would owe him $27.5 million. So that's pretty much the only reason EJ Manuel is starting, just to avoid any freak injury.
Well, then there you go. The question is, the Jets, who have quit on the season, they quit 2 weeks ago and just want to get the heck out of Dodge. Now you have a team that's quit versus a team that fired their head coach and is going to play their backup because they're afraid that their starter is going to get hurt and miss the 2017 season. I don't know which way to go on this one. Who wants to take a shot at this one first?
I can go first. I mean, I think that, you know, when you're starting your backup quarterback, you got a lot of positive things going for you. And I think we all should just keep in mind that backup quarterbacks, there's a reason why they get paid what they do. And I'm just messing around a little bit. I think I'm going to pick Buffalo just because just what you said. I think the team's going to rally around their one coach. And when you see people lose their jobs over the way that you've been playing, I think it's going to light a bit of a fire under their butt. And I couldn't help but think of friend of the podcast, Ross Tucker, when the defense, I forget the name of the defensive player for Buffalo, was on record this morning saying that Rex Ryan's defense was just too complicated. Ross would always say that the offensive lineman would make fun of the defensive players for just being stupid. I mean, you're a professional paid athlete. Your job is to learn the book. Come on, man. How are you not going to? Okay. But even with that, I'm still going to go with Buffalo in this round.
Yeah, that's not very smart. Brian, Bills, Jets, make a pick.
I'll pick Buffalo. I just don't think New York, the Jets are any good. I think that's all there is to it. I think Buffalo's got more talented players.
All right, Kevin.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Bills, too. The Jets have been cast out for 3 weeks now. They just want the season to be over.
And James?
I feel bad for the Jets coach. I mean, this is horrible. This is not what they expected going into the season. Bills.
You know, we're all going with Buffalo, which is a shame because I think if both these teams had something to play for, I do think the Jets might be able to actually win this game. But like I said, the Jets quit 2 weeks ago, so they're gone.
Reggie Bush has something to play for. Someone said on Slack, I forget, but if he doesn't get 3 or 4 yards rushing in Sunday's game, he'll be the first player in NFL history with 10-plus carries to finish with negative yards on the season. So Reggie Bush, this is definitely a huge game for him because who wants to have that title to their name?
Yeah, that was Justin. Justin said, you know, congrats to all of the super fans for having more rushing yards on the season than Reggie Bush.
Nice.
Yeah, because if I was Reggie Bush, this would be a huge game for me because I'm not letting that happen if I'm Reggie Bush.
I think Reggie Bush isn't going to have any choice in the matter. That's interesting. Now I have a reason to maybe flip to that game. No, probably not. The Chicago Bears are at the Minnesota Vikings in another game that doesn't mean much of anything to anyone. The Vikings will be at their home, and this is going to be one where I'm going to lock the Vikings in. Just because they're at home and they're going to want to finish this season with a 500 record. If they can finish 500 without their starting quarterback or starting running back, I think the Vikings can, you know, hold their chin up high for the way that this season played out. Let's start with you, Brian. Brian, since these are guys in your division.
I'm going to disagree with you a little bit. I think Minnesota's in free fall. I think, you know, you saw last week, the players aren't necessarily always following what the coaches want them to do. They're kind of making it up as they go. There's been a lot of talk this week about how much of that they said there was a miscommunication. I think that's bupkis. I think that's them trying to spin this story. I think Chicago's a better team than they get credit for, even though they are 3-12. And I bet they find a way to upset Minnesota this week. I'm picking Chicago.
All right. Kevin.
I'm going to agree with Brian here. I just don't like the Vikings one bit. And I would argue that Teddy Bridgewater honestly wouldn't have fared any better than Sam Bradford, but different topic for a different day. The Bears, if anything, have a good pass rush, and the Vikings, as we all know, have a suspect or more than suspect offensive line. So the Vikings offense will struggle again. Keep the Bears in the game because they keep everyone in the game. I'm not even sure if Harrison Smith's going to play. The Vikings defense is way better with Harrison Smith on the field, so that would be a big loss. Maybe Matt Barkley won't throw 5 interceptions then. So just give me the Bears here. Just give me the Bears here in a game that obviously means nothing.
Monty.
Yeah, I know that the Vikings defense did not show up last week against the Colts, but I think you guys are insane to say that the Bears are going to beat up on the Vikings and what could be Adrian Peterson's last game as a Viking at home in the new stadium. I think this is the only interesting thing is to see Adrian Peterson, you know, post-game press conference at the end of this game. But I'm going to go with the home team.
James?
The Bears already beat once.
Look, I'm confused by this game. The way Minnesota's been looking awful towards the end of the season is pretty much how I expected them to look all season long. I'm rooting on the Bears so that we can have a better draft pick, you know, since we sent them Sam Bradford. Thank goodness he doesn't play for us anymore. But you mentioned Harrison Smith earlier. He is questionable. Also, receiver Charles Johnson and Laquon Treadwell have not practiced this week. Adrian Peterson was held out of practice today. And Stephon Diggs also did not practice today. The only team that has more injured players than the Vikings are the Chargers. As for the Bears, Matt Barkley is Matt Barkley. I mean, this guy would have been great if he came out of school, you know, when he should have instead of staying an extra year. I don't know. The flip a coin, give me the Bears just to be different for no good reason.
The Ravens and the Bengals are the next game on the list. Another game that means absolutely nothing. But as I see here, Ravens apparently are going to go full bore as this is a regular game and the Bengals plan on sitting key players. If that's the case, I'm going to take the Ravens. I was going to take the Ravens anyway. But now I may have to change my lock of the week. I may have to go Ravens here. James, we'll go in reverse order.
Yeah, give me the Ravens. After losing a golden opportunity to give themselves at least a chance at getting into the playoffs last week against Pittsburgh, they're going to be salivating for some revenge and or some vengeance. And unfortunately, Cincinnati's on the schedule, so Baltimore all the way.
Monty.
Yeah, I think the story that broke today that this is probably Steve Smith's last game in the NFL. I think
89% sure.
The team is going to rally around him, and he's going to, you know, do what he does. I think the Ravens got this one easily.
Kevin.
I think the Ravens have this one easily as well. As Monty said, this is most likely Steve Smith's last game, so he's going to go out with a bang. That's just the type of player he is. And Justin Tucker just is not going to end the year on a loss. Let's just put it that way. No, but for real, Justin Tucker has – this is a fun stat. He has 41% of the Ravens' total points this year. Wow. So the guy is just – well, I mean, he's amazing. Fantasy MVP for a team that didn't win the championship. So it will never be – he'll never get the respect he deserves, but give me the Ravens in this game.
You know, it'd be fun to figure out if I have 41% of the actual talking time on our podcast this year.
Wow. Oh, keynote in this game. No AJ Green again.
Another reason why to go with the Ravens there, Brian.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. I think the Ravens are the better team. I think that's a really prideful team, and they got punched in the mouth last week. So I bet they come out guns blazing. Ravens take the win over the Bengals.
All right, speaking of getting punched in the mouth, let me look at something here real quickly. And all right, it's 6.5 Steelers-Browns. Steelers play their backups. Do they cover? Kevin.
Ooh, that's a hard one. They do not cover.
Monty.
Yes, definitely. Cleveland's still hung over. That was a huge win for them last week. They're going to take some
Landry
time.
Landry Jones, though.
Yeah, Landry Jones is going to earn his money. And again, go with the backup quarterback this week.
James.
Depends if Robert Griffin III can pass concussion protocol. If he passes protocol and he can play, the Steelers do not cover. In fact, I give Cleveland a good chance to win if Griffin plays.
Oh, come on, James. You can't call it 2 weeks in a row. There's no way.
The Cleveland prophecy.
Landry Jones is a starting quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I have zero faith in him whatsoever. If Griffin is the quarterback for the Browns, I'm going with the Browns. Other than that, I am sticking with the Steelers.
Wow. All right, Brian?
Yeah, I think you guys are crazy, too. The Steelers are the better team, whether it's Landry Jones. I think just the depth of talent on that roster is so much greater than what we see in Cleveland these days. So give me Pittsburgh.
But it's not just Landry Jones who's going to be playing. I mean, you're not going to see much of Antonio Brown if he suits up. You're not going to see any of Le'Veon Bell. He probably won't suit up. And probably half of the offensive linemen and significant portions of the defense.
Yep, and 22 players for the Browns are going to play, too.
The Browns are not that bad.
I thought I saw something about Le'Veon Bell. Ah, here we go. Le'Veon Bell. He is looking to get 2,000 scrimmage yards to become the seventh player in NFL history to record multiple seasons with at least 2,000 scrimmage yards in his first four career seasons. He needs, let me see here, how many more yards does he need? He needs 116 yards from scrimmage against Cleveland on Sunday.
Yeah, he's not playing.
Will he get it before the half is over? Kevin.
Yeah, I think James just said, I don't think Le'Veon Bell is even playing. But
he
yeah,
needs
so
the entire game to get that yardage. He's not, no, it's not
he
worth it.
He doesn't need the entire game. He can do that, and he can probably do it in the first quarter against Cleveland.
If he was playing, Madden. If he was playing, he would get it. But I don't think him, Antonio Brown, or Roethlisberger are playing any snaps. So by virtue of not getting on the field, I was going to be pretty confident that he doesn't get it.
I'm going to say he still somehow finds a way to get those yards, even without playing the game.
Is he wearing Willie Parker's jersey?
No. No, he's not. All right. Hey, I've got the two super fans here. We might as well play the sound effect. Here we go. It's a super fan battle between the Dallas Cowboys and the Philadelphia Eagles. I think really the only question here that's worth asking is Tony Romo going to be able to see the field, or are we going to see Mark Sanchez? Kevin.
Ooh, we are going to see Mark Sanchez. Tony Romo is not going to play. I'm pretty confident in saying that. Tyron Smith's not going to play. So Jerry Jones is already on record saying if the Cowboys starting offensive line is not in there, Romo's not going to play. They don't want him injured in the off chance he does need to play in the postseason or to affect some sort of trade value. Cause right now he's on the sidelines. Cowboys have trying to keep this facade up that he's perfectly healthy. He might not be for all we know, and that he's ready to come guns a-blazing. So we don't need him getting hurt to affect trading value. So he's 100% not playing this week.
All right, James, will the Eagles go full bore against the Cowboys?
Yes. This team offensively and defensively to some extent has been out of sync. And if nothing else, they want to get the most reps out of Carson Wentz as possible so they can have a full offseason with Doug Peterson and Frank Wright, you know, just pointing out some things that he can pick up on, some things he can do better, some things to look out for next season, little niches and nuances that he can work on in his game to be either more alert or to be more confident in the play calls, try to push some things downfield instead of dumping them off and vice versa. It's basically just having situational football on tape going into the offseason. So, yes, all the starters will play. Anyone who is healthy will play. That being said, Jordan Matthews didn't practice this week. Alan Barber has a hamstring injury. He didn't practice, but it's day-to-day, and Ryan Matthews was put on injury reserve. Kevin is right. Tyron Smith is not going to play. Most likely he has an MCL strain. As far as the Cowboys go, I think they play the starters probably a quarter or a half just to get rhythm, if you will, and maybe backups come in. But again, you don't want Tony Romo hurt because if he is trade bait in the offseason, you need him healthy. So there's a nice little balance there that they have to navigate. So, we'll see how it happens.
So Mark Sanchez will play against his former team wearing the star on his helmet. Can he get the job done, Kevin?
You know what? I'm going to say that he does just because I think Dak's going to play the first half. So I think when Sanchez comes in, we'll hopefully have, at that point, at least a three-point lead. And the Eagles just aren't any good, honestly. Carson Wentz, besides the first month of the season, is pretty much, I'm going to say it, he's looked awful. He's a sub-80 passer rating on the season, 14 touchdowns, 14 picks. James said Ryan Matthews is on IR for the rest of the year, so, or just this game, obviously. So they only have Sproles, and I forget that the other running back now that they have back there.
Smallwood.
And
Marshall.
Yeah, that's the guy I was thinking of. So the Eagles' offense is just not good, and the Cowboys' defense, much to my liking, has been pretty stellar the last 3 weeks. They've found a pass rush, which is amazing. Brings a huge smile to my face. So David Irving, I look for him to continue his great play. I'm definitely looking for a sack from him. Randy Gregory is going to get his first career sack this week. I'm going to call it now. But just once he will. He looked pretty decent last week in limited action. He almost got a sack. He did hurt us in the run game in the first half. So that's something we definitely need to work on going into the postseason. But that's not what we're talking about right now. We're talking about Randy Gregory sacking Carson Wentz, hopefully not getting a fraudulent roughing the passer call to take it away. But give me the Cowboys here, of course.
Wow. All right. James, what's your pick?
I'm picking the Eagles, and if Sanchez even touches the field, I expect butt fumble 3 or is this 4 coming up?
Brian?
Well, I want to talk a little bit about Tony Romo here. I think it's a travesty if Dallas doesn't play the guy just because they're worried about trade value. I think he's been heart and soul of that franchise for the last how many years? 10 years? And now you got some hot new thing in Dak Prescott and you kick him to the curb. I get it. I can understand. Dak's been better. He deserves that position. But play the man in a garbage football game. Come on, let's see Tony Romo play here.
I don't think he even wants to play, to be honest, in the third quarter or fourth quarter of this meaningless game. It's insulting to him.
I think at least give the guy the choice. Give me the Eagles. I think Cowboys are they're the best team in the NFC right now. I think they don't have a whole lot to play for. The Eagles got some pride, and I think they're going to play their guys.
Monty?
I'm going to take Darren McFadden to run all over the Philadelphia Eagles and just bring Romo out there in the fourth quarter. Give the dude a standing ovation. Had a hell of a run there in Dallas. Let the fans cheer him on. Throw snowballs at him, whatever Philadelphia does. There's got to be a couple Cowboys fans up there. I know Kevin will get up off the couch and clap. Like, come on, man. The guy was a good player.
I would definitely clap.
By the way, notice that the weather report, 50 degrees and partly sunny for Philadelphia.
Ooh.
It's going to be downright balmy in Philly. Certainly no snowballs.
Import snow from Canada.
By the way, I originally was going with the Cowboys, but after talking this out, I'm now switching to the Eagles. They do have more to play for, and the Cowboys are going to be playing their backups. The first time they met, this game went into overtime, so I don't think Dak is going to get that big of a lead before Mark Sanchez butt fumbles his way to another loss. The Texans are at the Titans, a game that was supposed to be an important one, but the Titans, well, their young quarterback broke his leg and they lost a game against the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Texans now will be heading into the playoffs. And you got to wonder if they're going to take the week off here against Tennessee, but can my boy Matt Castle pull off some sort of upset victory? We'll start with you, Monty.
I do think that Matt Castle is going to step up. Exactly what you said. I think that Houston, even though Tom Savage is in there and he wasn't your starter on day one, he's coming in. I think that the Titans, when you have a big devastating injury like that, I bet you their team's going to rally a little bit. Matt Castle's no stranger to the NFL, and the way that team is able to run the ball, I think that's what it takes to beat the Texans defense. And if I'm pulling the trigger, I'm going to go tighten up.
Hmm. James?
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with the Titans as well. The Texans pretty much are locked into the fourth spot. There's nothing they can do to change that. They will be hosting a wild card game next weekend. They're going to be resting key players, both offense and defense. That being said, Jadeveon Clowney and Lamar Miller have been held out of practice this week. And there was one other name I saw there on the injury report. Jonathan Joseph and Kareem Jackson also show up on the injury report as questionable, along with Brian Cushing. There's no reason to risk this right now for them. They want to win a home playoff game, get that taste out of their mouth from last year when Kansas City came to town. So they'll be resting people. I'm going with Tennessee.
Brian.
I'll take Tennessee, too. I think that defense is all pretty underrated. And I just don't think that Tom Savage really scares me. If Lamar Miller is banged up. Yeah, I think Tennessee's got this one.
And Kevin.
Well, the one name that's not on the injury list is Matt Castle. So I'm going to go with the Texans here because Matt Castle, I mean, as a Cowboys fan, I can't pick any team that he is a starting quarterback for to come out victorious because he, along with Brandon Whedon, who hopefully he gets in the game so we can have a Cowboys backup quarterback duel of 2015, Castle and Whedon. I've never seen such inept play last year, so I can't possibly pick the Titans in this. Even though the Texans are a disgraceful, disgraceful football team, they will win again somehow, 9-6 probably, and it will be a great, great entertaining game to watch.
I have a different view of Matt Castle, but of course, mine was a skewed view. I am going to take the Tennessee Titans, even though Bill O'Brien 5-0 versus the Titans as the Texans head coach. So this would be his first loss to Tennessee. All right. The next game on the list is those pesky Jacksonville Jaguars and the Indianapolis Colts. This is a game that I think if you're a Colts fan, you got to be a little bit concerned about the Jacksonville Jaguars coming to town. And Kevin, you had mentioned earlier before we started recording, you have an interesting Jaguars note.
I do have an interesting Jaguars note. In the last 21 games, the Jaguars have supposedly played in the NFL. They are 2-0 against the Colts and 2-17 against the rest of the NFL. So why not pick the Jags here? I'm a pretty vocal Jag hater, but now that Gus Bradley is gone, somehow they put up 38 points. Allen Robinson seemed to have come back from the dead. The Jacksonville defense is actually good. The ineptitude of their offense just overshadows that. So just give me the Jags here. The Colts, they failed me. They did not win out when I predicted they would 2 weeks ago, so they're dead to me. Give me the Jags.
James, our Jaguars super fan. James, what are your thoughts?
I think the Colts are just as inept as their defense is. There's still too much on Andrew Luck's plate. The line is porous at best and abysmal at worst. And the only weapon he has is T.Y. Hilton. So naturally, I'm going to take the Jaguars.
I cannot believe you remain on that bandwagon. Monty.
It's the first time I've picked them since they were in London.
I should hate the Colts for so many reasons. I just don't see them losing this game at home. Andrew Luck is good. He was taking some big hits last week, but he still hung in there and threw the ball. I think Moncrief played last week. I remember him getting a touchdown. So it has been a bit of an Irish wake. So I could be wrong on that. You might want to Google it, but I think Moncrief is back. I'll take the home team.
No, he's had an MRI earlier this week, and results are unknown so far.
He did play last week, though, so.
He did, but after the game, he had an MRI on Monday.
It was a terrible dance.
I don't doubt that.
His little touchdown dance was awful.
Does anyone also Does anyone know how Miles Jack has done this season for the Jags? I feel like I haven't heard anything out of him this year, or at least from the media. Like, does anyone know?
He played really well last week. He had a hell of a game last week.
Well, that's wonderful news.
Yes. In week 16, Miles Jack finally shows up. Let's get Brian your pick.
I think the Colts will probably find a way to win. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game, probably pretty entertaining. I think the teams are pretty evenly matched, but I don't know. I just like the Colts. I think they got the more talented quarterback, and they're going to find a way.
I, too, am going to take the Colts, and just so you know, I thought they had the second highest, but no, they have the third highest over-under for the week at 47.5. The second highest is the Packers Lions at 49.5. And the highest over under is a game we haven't gotten to yet. I'll bet you all can figure out that it involves the Saints and the Falcons. It's a 56 over under. Well, maybe wow. I'll ask that question when we get to that game. But we're not there yet. The New England Patriots are at the Miami Dolphins. Now, this game is going to be interesting in that I mentioned this during the recap. It was one of the first times I ever saw Tom Brady get benched before the fourth quarter when the game was in hand. But two, the Patriots actually have to play this game because those pesky Raiders haven't been eliminated from taking the number one seed yet. So that the question is going to be, am I going to be seeing Jimmy Garoppolo before the fourth quarter? We'll start with you, James.
No, you're going to see Tom Brady all game. History has also shown that the Patriots struggle in Miami. It doesn't seem to matter when the game is played. And while I'm cautiously picking the Patriots because they really do need home field throughout the AFC playoffs, I would be worried as a Patriots fan. Miami is a tough place for them, and Belichick normally doesn't rest people. I mean, unless they get up 40, he's not sitting anyone.
Well, you know, Garoppolo did play against the Dolphins this year. The score was 31-24, and he threw for three touchdowns, and then he got himself
hurt. Brady suspended?
Yes, Brady was suspended. Monty.
But that game was against Tannehill. Now that Matt Moore is in there, the team has really rallied behind him.
It's that backup quarterback again.
As their new quarterback. And I think James, I mean, he's just been so hot lately with his picks. And just commenting on how the Patriots have struggled down in Miami. Yeah, I think the evil emperor would like to, you know, put in Jimmy G, up his trade value, maybe not risk injury to the franchise, but I don't think he's going to be able to. Matt Moore is going to surprise some teams, and I think that the Dolphins are going to pull this one out.
You know, Matt Moore passed for 281 yards and three touchdowns in his last start versus New England. That was on Christmas Eve in 2011, Kevin.
Yeah, Matt Moore he's a pretty competent backup quarterback, as he's proved the last 2 weeks. Back-to-back 34-point games. Granted, it came against the Jets and the Bills. Not the best of teams. Definitely, Jets don't really even seem to have a defense. But with that said, James alluded to it. The Patriots have struggled in Miami. I don't think they've won in Miami since 2012. So Miami, they do have something still to play for. They can get to the 5 seed if the Chargers do beat the Chiefs this week, I believe. So I'm not sure when the Chargers and the Chiefs play, but the Finns definitely have something to play for. The 5th seed would be, if they could get it, would be mean the world to them. That means they would play Savage in the first round instead of Roethlisberger, which I don't need to tell you is a pretty big advantage. So the Finns, with their struggles against the Dolphins in Miami and their Week 17 woes, I think they will lose this game, but I think they'll still get home field advantage because I think the Broncos will beat the McGloin-led Raiders. He'll be one of the backup quarterbacks that doesn't get it done, sadly for Monty. But, yeah, give me the Fins here.
Who haven't I talked to yet?
You haven't talked to me yet.
Brian.
Yeah, and I think, look, I think Miami is a good football team. I think they're on the upswing, and they have given New England trouble at home. But I think it's pretty obvious who the better team is. I think it's New England. I didn't think that they were going to be 14-2 at the start of the season, especially with that four-game suspension to Tom Brady. But I think they're going to beat Miami this week, and I think that's all that really matters. I think they lock up the number one seed. I bet it's a good game, and I bet next year Miami plays a little closer, but this year it's New England.
I had the Pats at 10-6 and Miami at 5-11. What do you know?
Last injury note here, Jay Ajayi, biggest name on either injury report. Shoulder injury limited this week.
Well, I was going to mention Jay Ajayi because if he does end up playing, I can tell you he will not rush for 200 yards in a game against the New England Patriots. If there's one thing that the Patriots will do on defense, it will be to focus most of their game plan around stopping Ajayi and forcing Matt Moore to beat them, which he'll try to do. And he'll probably put up a pretty decent fight and get some passing yards out of it. But ultimately, I do see the New England Patriots winning this football game. One last 1 o'clock game, and that is the Carolina Panthers at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Oh, those Buccaneers, they couldn't get it done against New Orleans. And Carolina, man, something nasty has happened in Carolina just out of nowhere. It looked like they were on their way forward, and then they took two steps back. So now Carolina has to take that one last step in Tampa Bay, and Tampa Bay has got to try and find a way to not lose three in a row. So what do you think, Kevin?
I think that I'm going to pick the Bucs here because I'm done with the Panthers. Unfortunately, it took me until week 17 to pick against them. So I wouldn't give myself any credit here, but yeah, Cam Newton, same old story. He returned to his wonderful self last week, completing 41% of his passes, throwing two picks. So that's Cam Newton in top-notch form for you. I believe his passer rating this year is 77.5, which is actually lower than Blake Bortles. So Cam Newton is, I don't know what to say about the guy. He's just not very good. At least in my humble opinion. Career 86.5 quarterback rating. And just for reference, Carson Palmer this year has an 87 quarterback rating. Colin Kaepernick an 88.2 quarterback rating. And Cam's career is worse than those two numbers. And as everyone here knows, Carson and Kaepernick are obviously not lighting the world on fire this year. If anything, they're one of the worst two quarterbacks in the league. So, yeah, I guess I'll conclude my Cam roast for the fifth straight week, but he's just not good, and I just really hope people start to recognize that soon and rant.
Monty.
I like the way that pirate logo looks on the side of the Buccaneers helmet, and I like the way their defense plays. I don't know what happened to Carolina this year. Somebody, I don't know where I read it, but they kind of were 8-8, 7-8-1 type of team, and then that one magical run where they went 15-1 and went to the Super Bowl. I think they are what they are. Last year was the anomaly, not this year. And I like the Buccaneers. I like their defense. I think Gerald McCoy and Levante David, I think those guys are going to have a good game. I'm going with the home team.
Brian.
I couldn't have said it better myself. I think the Bucs defense is good, better than they get credit for. And I've never really liked the Panthers. I think they're mentally not very tough. And I think you saw that after the Super Bowl and kind of throughout this season with some of the struggles that they've had. Give me the Buccaneers in this game.
Man, one of the divisions I couldn't have seen worse in the preseason. I had the Panthers at 13-3, the Falcons at 7-9, Saints at 9-7, and the Bucs at 5-11. Oof. That is some wrong looking. James, who you got?
I'm going with the Buccaneers, and you know everyone knows about Doug Martin's.
That's right.
Yes, failed drug test. He was actually notified of it last week. In fact, the quote here I have is, "I was notified last week of a 4-game suspension for violating the league's drug policy. I'm starting the suspension immediately so I can enter a treatment facility and receive the help I truly need." So that was pretty much the real reason he was held out against the Saints last week, as opposed to whatever commentary was given during the game while everyone was questioning, why is Doug Martin not playing? Unfortunately, that game against the Saints, they also lost Charles Sims to injury reserve and Cameron Brate to injury reserve. This offense is pretty much going to be heavily reliant upon Jameis Winston and his stud wide receiver, Evans. So this would be a good point for the Panthers to at least show some pride at the end of the season, but I think they're going to shut it down. And I don't expect many of their big name stars to play the entire game, if, you know, much of the first half. So I'm going to fall back and just take the Buccaneers.
I too am taking the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And that finally brings us to the 4 o'clock slate of games. And we begin with the New Orleans Saints at the Atlanta Falcons. This is the game. The over-under is 56. I'm taking the Falcons. I'm going to take the over. Brian.
I like Atlanta in this game, too. They're a different team when they play at home, and the Saints are a different team when they play away. Give me the Falcons.
Over 56?
I will say under 56.
Kevin.
Number one and number two scoring offenses in the league. Give me over 56 here. But I guess the Falcons will win, secure home on first round bye. But yeah, definitely over 56.
All right, Monty.
These division games have a way of tightening up. I'd definitely take the under in this game. And I'll be honest with you, when I came to on Monday or Tuesday, whatever day that was, I had no idea that the Falcons were sitting in the 2 seed until just today when I was kind of looking at things, getting ready for this. I think that's a big deal to get that first round bye. And I'm going to go for, super fan favorite, Tim. Tim is hiding, and the Falcons win and secure second seed.
James.
Just a couple of injury notes here. Falcons, Taylor Gabriel and Julio Jones were both limited in practice this week. That'll hurt that over a little bit. And the New Orleans Saints, where is it? I just had them. Here they are. No big injuries here. Max Unger, their center, is questionable, but obviously he'll go. I'm going to take the under. And this is just a bit of irony. Last week, my Facebook feed blew up, as I live in Atlanta with a lot of my friends who are Falcon fans, praying the Saints beat the Buccaneers to give them the division. Now here it is. They have to beat the Saints to secure the number 2 seed. I don't see it happening. As much as I want to believe in Atlanta, there's something that's going to happen between now and if and when they lose in the playoffs. It's going to be like, yeah, that's why you don't get your hopes up. This may be that week and the bye would be great for them to get fully healthy. I'm going to pick the Saints. There's nothing. I mean, the Saints are already out of the playoffs. There's nothing more they love better at the end of the year than to come in Atlanta and beat their bitter rival.
Interesting. Interesting. That would definitely make for a little more interest in the NFC playoff seeding for sure. But let's go back to the AFC, where Monty, your Oakland Raiders will be facing the Denver Broncos. And, you know, a lot of talk about this Matt McGloin character, but he's been around for quite some time, especially with Oakland. However, in his career, he's got 11 touchdowns to 11 interceptions. He is probably the carbon copy definition of mediocre in terms of a quarterback. Looking at his career completion percentage, 58.3, only has 1,800 passing yards. The Raiders averaged over 27 points per game. Can McGloin get the team to that average or over?
I wish that Neil was here, because Neil would tell you that the McGloin clan is strong. Their ancestry over in Scotland They are now no strangers to adversity. And I was curious to know if Neil's beard also grew red like McGloin's. A lot of emotions over here, Pod. A lot of emotions I've been going through. It's good to be able to talk this out with you guys. I think this is a prime example that I was telling our super fan Kevin earlier today in the Slack group of why stats are for losers. McGloin played for a Oakland Raider team that literally was the Cleveland Browns at the time he played. That was he went 1-5. That was the year the Raiders ended up going to pick Derek Carr the next year. They went 0-10 that following year. This is a different Raiders team than anything Matt McGloin has ever played with. He didn't have Amari Cooper and he didn't have Crabtree. He didn't have this offensive line. And I think that, you know, you mentioned this, there's only one important game this week, and that's the Packer game. This is a big game for super fandom, as I've got a bet with Lewis, the Broncos super fan. If the Raiders were to sweep the Broncos this year, Lewis has to buy and wear a Raiders jersey. Oh, put some photos up on the internet. And I think that whoever gets the game ball when McGloin leads it, and it'll probably be McGloin. I think, Lewis, you might start shopping for McGloin jerseys. I can send you some links if you need them. Just let me know. Looking at the Broncos-Raiders game the last time they played on Sunday Night Football, right? So Derek Carr did not have the best game. He had like 184 yards rushing, 184 yards passing, and all three Raiders running backs had pretty solid games. And going into this game, I think you're going to see kind of that team rally behind their guy, right? The Broncos have nothing to play for. They've been eliminated. They've got nothing to look forward to. I know it's Raiders week. I know they hate the Raiders. I know this is a big division game, and I know they're going to want to play well at home, but they've got nothing going on. And you tell me these guys are professionals, they get paid, but sometimes you do make a business decision. Sometimes, you know, EJ Manuel's your starting quarterback because there's money on the line. I don't see guys like Von Miller who don't need to put their game on tape anymore because they've established themselves running all out down the field, making, you know, hustling down the field. I think the Broncos have given up on this season, and I think that's why this plucky Oakland Raiders team behind Sir Matt McGloin of the McGloin clan are going to go into Denver. I think their defense is going to have a big game. The Slash Brothers, Khalil Mack and Bruce Irvin are going to get after either Sevian or Pax, Trevor Siemian or Paxton Lynch. I don't know if Simeon's playing yet, but I think the Raiders, you're going to see the same formula. They're going to run it. I bet you all of their running backs have 10 touches, maybe not all rushes, but catches out of the backfield. I bet you they limit McGloin's passing. But when I watched that game, the Raiders needed a first down to ice the game against the Colts because the Colts were down by one possession. McGloin had a nice third down pass to Amari Cooper, who went up and just got the ball. Raiders are going to win this game. We can get to their chances in the playoffs at another time. But for this week, week 17, I'm going with the backup quarterback who's got his whole team, most of the fans of the NFL who don't care about the AFC West, and the city of Oakland behind him. I think the Raiders win this game, and they get one, at least one more home game for the fans of Oakland.
I was going to say, that would give him a week off as well, which would be huge to give McGloin another chance to work with those weapons that he never had a chance to work with before.
And other good news, too, we don't have to ask about Derek Carr's finger anymore. That's no longer an issue. Doesn't matter if he's going to be able to be under center or not. That we can put that to rest, fellas. Good news.
Want to add that I saw a report Kubiak plans on playing both Siemian and Lynch in this game. DeMarcus Ware, I know, James, I'll cut you off at the head there. DeMarcus Ware put on IR. So he won't be playing at all in this game. But you know, these type of division rivalry games, the team that doesn't have anything to play for often, and especially when they're at home, often like to play that spoiler role, and would love nothing more than to knock the Raiders out, and have them play a week earlier than they're planning. Of course, by doing so, they'll just allow the Chiefs a chance to get that week off.
You're just trying to lock up the one seed for your home team. You're biased. I think my impassioned speech made a lot of good points. What do you guys think? Who are you going with?
James, who you got?
Just a quick injury note for the Raiders. I'll dispense with the Broncos here. Jalen Richard, Michael Crabtree, Amari Cooper, Kari Joseph, and Andre Holmes, along with Malcolm Smith, are all questionable and were all limited in practice this week with a variety of injuries ranging from shoulders, ankles, and toes. Call me crazy. I'm going to pick the Raiders. Last week against the Kansas City Chiefs, and granted, yes, the game was in Kansas City, Denver's offense looked – I thought the Texans' offense looked bad with Tom Savage. Denver's offense was beyond, like, just – I don't even know if they were there or not. And if they get punched in the mouth on defense, it's a wrap. They tend to not take a team's best punch and recover from it. It's pretty much a downhill for them. And Kansas City just basically kept pulling out haymaker after haymaker. Like, what trick play haven't we tried yet? Oh, Dontarius Poe over the top with the jump pass? Yes, let's pull that out. Let's run the reverse with the quarterback. Sure, let's use that. And they never recovered defensively. So I'm going to take the Raiders here.
Good man.
Kevin?
I did say earlier I was going to take the Broncos, but I can't bring myself to do it. Monty raised some excellent points, but no. I said the last 2 weeks that the Broncos were going to lose out and go 8-8, and I'm going to stick to it. I only said the Broncos were going to win just despite Monty a few moments ago, and I didn't realize at the time that I was going to have to pick the Raiders only a few moments later. But that's what happens when you don't speak. So lesson to all you kids out there. But yeah, give me the Raiders here. The Broncos' offense is absolutely horrible. Monty and James are right. At times they look worse than the Texans and the Jaguars. McGloin will get his win this week, but that will have to fill his appetite for the rest of the year, because that will be the Raiders' last win of the year.
Brian.
Well, I love the Raiders. Reggie McKenzie's done a fantastic job turning that franchise around. I tend to agree with a lot of the things that Monty had to say. I think that the defense is going to step their games up. I think the rushing attack will kind of get back on track this week against the Broncos team, who I think they've been okay against the run, but not fantastic. And I just think
28th.
They're going to be... Thank you. I think they are going to rally around Matt McGloin of the McGloin clan, and I think they find a way to win.
Love this roster. Great, great superfan roster tonight, Pod.
Don't all be swayed by Monty's, suave ways with the words. But I'm also taking the Oakland Raiders, despite the Broncos giving 1 point. We have three more games here, gentlemen. Let's try and cruise through them. The Kansas City Chiefs are at the San Diego Chargers. Monty, I'm going to stick with you since these two teams are in your division. The Chiefs did pull out all the stops, and now they're facing the San Diego Chargers and the Chiefs. You know, if the Raiders do happen to stumble, we'll take that second spot.
I think the Chiefs defense is awesome. A little concerned with Justin Houston. He's had some swelling in his knee. I would hold him out just because they're going to be in the playoffs regardless. But when that team's at full speed, they are a good defense. And I just don't think that the Chargers have anything left. I don't know whether I'm rooting for the Chargers to lose so their coach gets fired, because that's what Ken wants, or I'm rooting for the Chargers to win so that the Chargers don't fire their coach and Ken is mad. Either way, I think the Chiefs steamroll the Chargers and put a lot of pressure on the Raiders all second half as they see the scoreboard.
Brian.
Yeah, I think the Chiefs are the better team. I think give me the Chiefs.
Kevin.
Give me the Chiefs as well. The Chargers are done. Melvin Gordon's not going to play. I think Kenneth Farrow was just placed on IR. So they pretty much have no healthy bodies left at this point. Ronnie Hillman, yes.
Wow.
So, yes, give me the Chiefs.
Wow.
James.
Tamba Haley, Justin Houston are both questionable. I don't expect either one of them to play at all, if much. Give me the Chiefs.
Chargers lose and McCoy gets fired.
Did I see that Tyreek Hill was on the injury report, or was I dreaming?
Probably dreaming.
Well,
Tamba Haley, you probably got this for the T and the H and got excited.
Maybe. Could be. I, too, am taking the Kansas City Chiefs. Chargers are done. I don't know about their head coach. I don't know why they would get rid of McCarthy so quickly, but hey.
Boy.
You know, when you're moving to L.A., you like to shake things up. The Arizona Cardinals are at the Los Angeles Rams. Interesting game that has absolutely no bearing on the standings of anything whatsoever. The Cardinals are -6. Kevin.
Give me the Cardinals here. The Rams are atrocious. I sort of hope that Goff has like a Kaepernick-esque performance against the Cardinals that from 2014, where Kaepernick threw 4 first half interceptions, I think. I don't know why I want that for Jared Goff and the Rams. They just really bother me. They're one of those teams, along with the Vikings and the Texans and the Jags. Wow, I guess they hit a lot of teams. But yeah, give me the Cards here.
James, the Rams have won 2 of their past 3 versus the Cardinals.
Sure, let's give Goff his first win. Let's take the Rams at home.
Of course. Next game. Brian.
I think Jared Goff is a special kind of bad. I think Cardinals are going to win this one.
Monty.
Yeah, I think Goff is in the Tim Couch category of top picks, not the Cam Newtons of the world, so I'm going to go with the Cardinals. But a lot of the Rams players should be playing well. It'll be a close game. I mean, they're auditioning for whoever their next coach is going to be.
I, too, am going to take the Arizona Cardinals. The last game for us to go over is the Seattle Seahawks at the San Francisco 49ers. Seahawks -10, but they haven't been playing like they could cover 10 points here. James, do they cover the 10 points against the dreaded San Francisco 49ers?
Oh, you know how much I want to say yes, but I'm going to say no. They're too banged up. Cam Chancellor's been limited in practice this week. Tyler Lockett, of course, we know is on injured reserve. That secondary, like I mentioned earlier this week, like when one, if both, any of those safeties are out, they're just a different team. It's going to open up opportunities for that Niner offense to go deep often. So I still expect them to win the game, but I don't expect them to cover. Seahawks.
Carlos Hyde also placed on injury reserve. Monty.
I just don't know what the – I don't know how the 49ers won last week. Who did they beat? The Rams? I just don't see them scoring any points against the Seattle defense. I know they play terrible on the road, but, I mean, this is a business trip, guys. We're getting ready for the playoffs. Get your stuff straight and stay focused. I think the Seahawks cover the 10 points and get ready for the playoffs.
I mean, Seattle could use the win, especially if Atlanta falters, Kevin.
Seattle will definitely get the win. If you could look up, I think Seattle's probably beat the 49ers 4 times in a row by double digits. That's a complete shot in the dark on my part, but I would be somewhat confident in predicting that. But anyways, yeah, the Seahawks are going to cruise here, even though they are banged up and the running game seems to have vanished the last 2 weeks. But the 49ers are just awful.
Seahawks have won their past 5, and I can tell you that earlier this year they won 37-18, and last year at San Francisco, the Seahawks won 20-3. So that does cover 10. Brian.
Seattle, I think, is clearly the better team. That San Francisco 49ers defense has really fallen off from, I don't know, maybe the last 5 years. They're giving up over 30 points a game on average. Give me the Seahawks.
I'm going to take the Seahawks to win, but I am not going to take the Seahawks to cover based on the injury report. So there you go, folks. That's week 17 in the books. One last question now to pose to our super fans. MVP of the league, Brian, you have a guy who could be a candidate.
Yeah, I think I don't know if he will be the MVP because there was that stretch where, like I talked about earlier, that he was kind of missing some open targets. We were really struggling to move the ball. But I think if you put any weight into kind of his remarks around running the table and kind of the leadership that that takes to put that on himself to win and then to follow through on that and to throw all those touchdowns without any interceptions in the last 5-6 games, yeah, I think he's a legit MVP candidate and not one that gets talked about an awful lot.
Kevin, you have two possible candidates.
I do, and I don't think either of them are going to win. I think Dak probably should win, but he won't. I think Matt Ryan's actually going to win, and if they win this week and secure a first round bye, I think that only helps his chances. I mean, the Falcons offense, I was reading an article the other day. I wish I had some of the numbers in front of me. They're almost on par statistically with the 2013 Broncos. Everyone remembers that team, Peyton's record-setting year. I mean, what the Falcons have done on offense this year is pretty unbelievable. And I haven't really even bought into the Falcons. I still don't really believe in them to be a serious threat in the postseason. But the Falcons have been sensational on offense this year. They've beat the Seahawks, or they should have beat the Seahawks, if not for a missed pass interference call. They beat the Broncos. They've played up to every test they have been given on the offensive side of the ball. Okay, James, touche. How could I forget about that? That was an ugly game, but everyone's allowed one stinker. The Matt Ryan has been phenomenal this year, and with the first round bye, I don't really see how you can't give it to Matt Ryan. Tom Brady, if he didn't miss four games, I mean, I don't even think we'd be having this discussion right now, but he did miss four games, so I will give it to Matt Ryan.
Well, I think we have another impassioned speech coming from Monty.
You know, to be honest with you, I think, Tom Brady is playing lights out. If he hadn't missed those four games, I'd probably give it to him. Le'Veon Bell pushing 2,000 yards from scrimmage. If he hadn't missed those four games, I'd probably give it to him. Derek Carr getting hurt and then taking those games off against Kansas City. You can't really give it to him. If I could give it to the Cowboys offensive line, I'd probably go there. But to be honest with you, I think if the Packers win the division, it's Aaron Rodgers. He's literally carried that team since he made those comments. And I think he's the best quarterback in the league. I think that's who gets the nod.
James, you're the only one on the show that doesn't have a candidate.
I can make a great case for basically everyone who's legitimately up for the award. The rookies in Dallas, Tom Brady, despite the four games, Bell, despite the four games, Derek Carr, Matt Ryan, Aaron Rodgers. I'm going to stick NFC, and I think ultimately it's going to come down to Rodgers and Ryan. And the way Ryan, and it's not so much the way Ryan has been playing, is just the way the offense has carried that team, because the defense hasn't really done much to, you know, help them out in cases. A lot of their wins have been shootouts. They basically had to outscore teams by 2 to 3 touchdowns just to, you know, get away with the victory. He's put up great numbers early, but he fades as the game goes on. And that's my only knock against Matt Ryan, that as the game goes on to the third and fourth quarters, he's not as sharp as he is in the start of the game when they're putting up astronomical points. Ultimately, I'm going to have to give the edge to Rodgers. He had a lull in the middle of the season. He was off with the wide receivers. There was, you know, I'm not going to say infighting, but there was some self-reflection of the offense as a whole. They put things back on track, starting with that Monday night game in Philadelphia, and they haven't looked back ever since. And should they close out business on Sunday in Detroit, I think it's his.
So I had mentioned earlier at the beginning of the year that I don't think Tom Brady's going to win the award. And if I did have a vote, and this just in, I don't. I agree with Monty. I think the Cowboys offensive line somehow needs to be rewarded. And the best way to reward them would be to give Ezekiel Elliott the award. That's not going to happen. We know that this is a quarterback award, and I agree with everything that you guys said. If Aaron Rodgers wins that division, it's Aaron Rodgers' award to take home. Real quickly, the AFC, based on the way that we have picked the games, the playoffs will look like this. The Patriots will be the one seed. The Raiders will be the two seed. Miami, the sixth seed, will face Pittsburgh, and Kansas City will be the fifth seed and will go to Houston. In the NFC, the Cowboys will be the first seed. That's already locked up. You already knew that. Atlanta will have the second seed in the week off. The sixth seed will go to the Redskins, and they will face Seattle. The Giants would be the fifth seed and will go to Green Bay, which will make for a very interesting week one of the NFL playoffs, the wild card round. We want to hear from you, nextfanup@gmail.com. You can always tweet us at NFU Podcast. And of course, you can check out our website, www.nextfanup.wordpress.com. Next week, we'll have a recap show. I'm still working on a very special show that I hope to have every week through the course of the playoffs. And then we'll have our preview show as usual, and that will post on Thursdays. So you know you'll definitely get a recap, and you know you'll definitely get a preview. Anything else, of course, will be gravy, and I'm working diligently to make sure that the gravy occurs. So stay tuned. If you don't want to miss a show, the best way to not miss us is to subscribe to our show on iTunes. Just go to iTunes, search Next Fan Up, and our show pops right up there for you on the search page, and you just hit the little subscribe button. Pretty easy. You can do so also on Stitcher or AHA Radio or TuneIn Radio, and of course, you can always find the show on our website or go to our Blog Talk Radio archive page. That's blogtalkradio.com/nextfanup. There you go. Share with a friend. Go forth and spread the word, and the word is good. And so for all the super fans, thank you very much. Thank you for listening. Good luck to you all. If you're still in your fantasy playoffs, I won't give you an update right now on the Blog Talk Radio Expert League, but, I know Her Fantasy Football and Razzball are going head to head there, and, their championship will be decided this week. So good luck to you if you're still got the fantasy championships going on. Good luck to you with your picks. And with that, I leave you with the unemployed Jeff Fisher. There you have it.
Well, I think we learned today that, this game is four quarters long.